It's time for JT the Brick.
You want a conspiracy theory? I'll give you one. There's no way you can sit in the boardroom on Park Avenue where NFL headquarters are and say the Raiders are going to open up with two on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. What are the odds of that? You're giving us the Atlanta game on Monday Night Football at the end of December. Thanks. Really appreciate that. Now, what you want to thank you, Roger? He just scoffed and mocked us. Like, you're nothing. We're nothing.
JT the Brick.
I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. Make the Raider Nation stand up. Sound off like you got a pair. It's your time now to be heard. You got a flagship station that isn't compromised up north with a baseball team going out of business and another San Francisco football team and hosts that are in the pocket. You got me at the front gates of the Raider Nation trying to help you have a voice on this. So let's roll.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
JT, here we go. Good. Out of the gate, we're ready to roll today on a busy day. Coming off the weekend here, opening up the show. Thank you for listening as we kick off our week on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. All right, we got this, Jess. Take it down. We're good. We're good. We're ready to roll. Hope everybody's good to go. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Bobby's out today. Jess is in. We got a busy week here, really busy week for me personally. There's practices. I'll be on the sidelines for that. We got a lot of activations this week in the Raider Nation. Raiders are back in Vegas after Costa Mesa and Minneapolis. We'll get into all of that. So the Raiders are back home, and they're here for good. And they start off on the road, man. You're not going to see the Raiders at home until Carolina, unless you're going to the practice and you're able to go to Allegiant Stadium, which you better. I hear these are going to be off the charts. So try to get into the practices if you're going out to the facility practice. I don't know if you have tickets or not. That's not none of my business, whatever. But I'll be there for all of it. I'll report back. And this is a big week because Antonio Pierce, by this time next week, we'll know who the quarterback is for the Raiders to start the year. It's a very fluid situation. As we open up the season, we're one of only two or three teams out of the 32 in the entire league that has a quarterback issue, right? Who's going to start? They don't have that problem in Cincinnati. They don't have that problem in New York with the Jets or the Giants with Daniel Jones. They don't have it in Chicago with Caleb Williams, the number one pick overall. Jaden Daniels looks really good for the Commanders. Trevor Lawrence is going to start. We go around the league. Derek Carr is going to start. We, the members of the Raider Nation, we're the team. And we have one issue that we got to figure out. And some help to Colt Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson and who's going to be the second corner. There's some issues out there, but still the low-hanging fruit, which the national media won't even cover. Then you want to talk about non-coverage of the Raiders. Non-coverage of the Raiders. I would rank this all time, and this is year 27 for me. I would rank this number one. I would rank it number one for lack of coverage from the media of the Las Vegas Raiders. I would rank it number one. And I think this is a pretty good team. Really good team. There's been a couple of coaches that been let go or removed. We're only in our fifth season, man. We had Gruden and McDaniels. Now we got a new coach in Antonio Pierce. But the national media looks at this team, maybe rightfully so, maybe rightfully so, saying, hey, Raider fans, Raider Nation, we're done. We're done hearing how great you are and how loud you are. Silver and black, all this stuff. Go win games. And that's kind of where we're at. But I don't have to be that guy. I don't care. I have had people behind my back. Oh, he's a cheerleader for the team. Oh, really? Oh, really? I'm a cheerleader for the team, huh? What do you want me to do? Root against the team? Some people want me actually root against the team. Really, there are some knuckleheads out there that want me to come on and put my job on the line every game and say something stupid. Oh, I want the Raiders to win every game. I'm a season ticket holder. I want them to win every game. They're not going to win every game. So what I'm going to do in my small capacity on this platform is I'm going to hope they win and try to give you and frame the ways I think they can win the game. Even against Kansas City. Even at Cincinnati. I'm going to tell you this is how the Raiders could win the game. I'm not going to go on the radio and say, the Raiders are going to lose the game, but if they do that, that's not going to happen here. Okay? I'm not a journalist. I'm a fast-paced sports talk host. That's it. Who has a lot of access to this team. So some of it's on the record. Some of it's off the record. Most of it's fan engagement. A lot of times I'm on the phone with fans. Hey, what do you think? I'm going to use this for the show. What do you think of this? Who do you like at quarterback? And that'll never change. And we're going to do that. We got to win some games coming up here. So the coach has got to pick a quarterback who can win one of the first two games. I want him to go 2-0. I think the Raiders could go 2-0. But that would be a best-case scenario. That would be like climbing Mount Everest out of the gate and getting to the top in the first two games. Slow your roll. It's all about the Chargers. But before that, two pretty good teams coming into town. The Cowboys and the Niners. Oh, my God. Holy, that's a pretty good opportunity. So if you're helping out Raider Dad or you're helping out the kids in the neighborhood, I've always said this about preseason games. Give away your preseason tickets to kids. Give them away to kids in your neighborhood or bring a kid to a game. Take a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old to a Raider game for the first time because your tickets are really expensive in the regular season. They're not cheap in the preseason. Take someone new to a Raider game and teach them what it's like to be a Raider fan early in their life. And man, this schedule, I wish the regular season schedule was this good. Wow. You get the Cowboys and the Niners back-to-back? I'm going to enjoy here the next couple of weeks here. And I'm not going to freak out the next couple of weeks, and I'm not diving all in. It's still summertime, August, maybe a day or two still to take before the start of the year, even though the kids are back to school. My son's going back to college in 2 weeks. ASU, he actually is in Disneyland today with a friend. My other son's going to the Yankee game tonight in Chicago as he's out there on business. So as the wife and I empty nest, we are drinking Modelo's by the pool, Tequila Commissario, Remy Martin, La Casa cigars last night. Man, I grew up in New York, man. The summer doesn't end to me until Labor Day. The summer does not end for me until Labor Day. I'm on summertime mode. I am not JT out of my mind, Raider crazy. Oh, my God, do or die. I'm still on a working vacation, and I get to call the games. And how excited was I for that? So let's begin. And we're brought to you by PT's. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. Man, I got a lot to talk about with Golden Entertainment. And the key is, we say, book your fantasy football party at PT's Taverns and receive 10% off your party check, a free draft kit, and free Wi-Fi. The discount is not valid during happy hour, but you can have your lunchtime crowd. Come on in there. Build your fantasy team at PT's. We've been doing this for a really long time. $4 high noon. That sounds pretty good. $2 crunchy tacos. $5 brats. Oh, I love brats. That sounds great. $6, get this, Jess, $6 toasted ravioli. God, I've never had the toasted ravioli. And the pork pot stickers, all there on a great promotion there, fantasy football at PT's. So didn't fly out with the team, flew out with a couple of members of the Raiders staff on Friday. Got to Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a pretty cool city. If you're in downtown, it was so cool to get off the plane and it was 76 degrees. Living in Vegas where it's 106, we had the most amount of 115 days ever in the history of this town, ever. Thanks to my buddy Dana Wagner, who keeps me up to date with the weather. So with all this happening here, it was great to land in Minneapolis. The Cleveland Indians were in town with the Twins. I had a big series going on. The city downtown's pretty cool. There's a couple of cool bars there. It's a good walking city. I touched the Mary Tyler Moore statue for good luck. Mary Tyler Moore, now you might be young and not know who that is. You should. They have a statue of her right in the middle of a walking street. And we had a nice dinner, a nice steakhouse, and got together and hanging out with Matt Millen, Rich Gannon, Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy, Eric Allen. We sat down at a production meeting with the coach, Antonio Pierce, Luke Getsy, who was really good. And then they brought us Zeus. Zamir White to the meeting, and man, that was fun. Guy walks in, he could barely walk in the room. His legs are like trees, like stumps on trees. He told us how many more horses he bought. Jason Horowitz asked him, "Do you ride all the horses?" He said, "Yes, sir. I ride every horse." This guy, Zeus, looks like he literally is doing work in the offseason with horses on a farm, and he's big. He's big. He's going to be a key to this year. What happens if he comes into this season? We know the Raiders are going to be run heavy. We know that. What happens if he has an unbelievable year? I'm not talking Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett, but he's been in the league now. He went to Georgia. It's not like he went to Toledo. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Or there's nothing wrong with playing, you know, at a smaller school around the country here. But the guy went to Georgia. What happens if we start feeding this guy and he's just running people over? He's getting like 4 yards a carry, and then he just starts running people over and lands forward, and it's seven. Going to change everything. Bowers and Big Mike, and the team looked pretty good. So let's begin with the stop for the Raiders here on fourth down as it got the game going. These are Raider ones as the Raider starters are in the game.
Again, same formation on the right side. Three receivers to the right here as Darnold is in the shotgun. Darnold looking right, then he looks back left across the middle to the back of the end zone. Broken up. Broken up by Jacorian Bennett, EA.
Great job. Big spot,
big play for the Raiders secondary as they get a stop.
So the Raiders get off the field on that play there. Happy that I can bring you these calls along with Eric Allen and Lincoln Kennedy. So that was a nice stop. Now, if it was a regular season game, they wouldn't have went for it. They would have kicked the field goal and went up. So that's probably, this is preseason. They went for it. Raiders got a stop. Jacorian Bennett was back there. Hey, Jacorian Bennett played a really good game. That should fill up my phone lines today for a little bit. Either you want Jacorian Bennett to start or you want to go get a free agent now. Right now, I mean today. If you're not comfortable with Jacorian Bennett starting opposite of Jack Jones, then you better go get a cornerback today and have him ready for the Cowboy-Niner game to play a little bit. And it seems like they're going to go with what they have here. Man, I was thrilled for this. The first catch, Brock Bowers, not regular season, preseason, but his first catch as a Raider.
Brock Bowers out to the left here, also far wide. As Aiden's in the shotgun, he's got time, throws it across the middle of the field. It is caught. Brock Bowers for a first down. Welcome to the Raider Nation out of Georgia. The two-time Mackey Award winner, the two-time national champ. There it is, EA. We said we'd call it. We got it.
I enjoyed that call. That's a good one. That's a check mark. I got a chance in history to call Brock Bowers' first catch with the Raiders, and it was a big one. And he ran a beautiful route, and he caught it, and he was able to go upfield. Oh, you guys missed that on YouTube. I didn't have the YouTube speaker up there for my YouTubers. We'll play that as a rejoin coming up here in a little bit. So Brock Bowers in space, Aiden O'Connell finding him. Aiden played pretty well. I thought, let's stop for a second. Aiden O'Connell played well. Guy's fighting for his job. He didn't hurt his chances. I thought Aiden played pretty well. So that's good that he was able to find him and get going. Now, the Jack Jones interception in the second quarter, this is a big one because Jack is the ball hawk on this team, and he gets one early in August.
J.J. McCarthy in the shotgun, three wide receivers to the left. McCarthy's got time, setting up, looking, the pressure's coming, throws it out to the left, intercepted! Intercepted Jack Jones! Jack Jones comes across! That's an interception by number 18! The way he played in Costa Mesa, he's playing here in downtown Minneapolis.
Is that the Eric Allen laughing track as I'm calling an interception? Eric Allen's so happy. He's just smiling and laughing. What a great guy Eric Allen is, man. So that was pretty cool to call Bowers and then an interception there. Really enjoyed that. So let's stop after these play-by-play calls, courtesy of Compass Media and Raider Nation Radio. Jack looks good. Jack looked really good in camp. He really did. Looked excellent in camp. He gets a pick here. He sees the field well. We got to keep this guy healthy. Okay, I know we want to look at him on kickoffs or punts. Let's keep this guy healthy. He's really important. He has to stay and play all these games this year, and he's not a big guy. He's not a big guy. He's a ball hawk. He's going to get beat on some plays because he's very, very aggressive. But he got a pick there, which was really nice. Gardner Minshew comes in the second quarter, and here's Gardner running, which is really important if he wants to get the starting position. Check this one out.
Two wide receivers to the right, DJ Turner and Wilkerson. Gardner's looking left the whole time. He runs out of trouble here. He can run for a first down and have a big game. Gardner's going to get out of bounds. Great play by Gardner Minshew to see that everyone was looking deep with the receivers. Lincoln, he runs and picks up a critical first down, first and 10 on the 20.
Yes, Gardner Minshew running there for a first down. Let's stop the show. Really important what just happened there. Q and I talked about it in the hallway. That play. Could that be the play that gets Gardner Minshew the starting job for the Las Vegas Raiders? Look, there's going to be some big plays coming up in the Cowboy game. Pocket broke down. Gardner saw space, ran, picked up a first down. Has to happen with either him or Aiden O'Connell. Gardner's better. He's better at that. I think that Aiden's more accurate. Might throw a better deep ball, I think. But can Aiden do that? Well, Aiden O'Connell's not going to do that in a week. That's something you have to build your whole life to do. So we'll see if he's able to do that. And really, if you're just joining us now, that's the focus of the show. I need to know who you have leading the quarterback race all week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is quarterback week on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, brought to you by Modelo, the fighting spirit of Modelo. If you are a Raider fan, which I know you are, you have an opinion today at 702-365-9200. Who's winning? You know, in horse racing, when they're coming around, ready for the home stretch, and the announcer goes, and down the stretch they come. I mean, I stand up, Triple Crown race. They're coming around the far end, coming around the far end, and down the stretch they come. Well, this is where we're at. We're down the stretch. Here we come. Who do you got? Who do you got as the quarterback for the Raiders? And that could change. Remember, I told you this is a quarterback competition. It could turn into a quarterback controversy. It could. If you don't like the pick, what happens if Aiden outplays Gardner in this game against the Cowboys and Coach Pierce says, I'm going with Gardner? There's going to be a lot of Aiden O'Connell fans saying, wait a second, I thought they were even. Aiden outplayed him. Why isn't he the starter? Because the head coach makes that decision. The head coach is in meetings and practices that we're not at. Okay, he's talking to other coaches. So we don't know. We're just a fan. We're the army of the Raider Nation, and your opinion counts on this show. Minshew, the touchdown to DJ Turner. We all knew DJ Turner's playing well. He's going to make the team, and he's going to have an impact. Gardner's going to throw. Looks downfield, throwing towards the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! DJ Turner gets it in. Look at this. Touchdown for the Silver and Black. Great throw over to the right side. Gardner Minshew held for a second. Then Lincoln, you take a look at the throw overall. Great execution. Six plays, 67 yards. Six plays, 67 yards on that. So, DJ Turner, that's the only tough thing I have to do as I'm doing play-by-play, is quickly figure out who caught that ball in real time. When Minnesota does, no one cares. You know, Minnesota throws the ball over the middle. I got a second for my spotter to say, that's number blank. DJ Turner, he's easy to see, man. He runs good routes. I'm excited I called the touchdown of his. So, he gets in the end zone, which is really nice. Then Minshew has a big play to Trey Tucker, which is important. I'm not going to make any Cliff Branch references here, but Trey is a deep threat. He's an important player, and Gardner found him.
Minshew's got time. Now the pocket is basking. He's going deep to Trey. He's looking to try to find it. He finds it and brings it in. What a catch by Trey Tucker. He had to look up and find it. EA, he found it, dove, and came down with the ball.
Guys, usually that.
Yeah, that was nice there, too. So that was a pretty, that was the big throw. And Trey had a pretty good camp. He's got to get rid of the drops, footwork, and all that. He caught a big play. So let me stop the show again, Jess. At this point in the game, the Raiders ones and twos versus the Vikings ones and twos, the Raiders won the game. Game over, Raiders win. Starters, come on out. Raiders were ahead comfortably, and they won. They won the starters, ones and twos, ones. So for Raider fans looking to take away something positive, the Raiders outplayed the Vikings when it mattered most. They did. They were the better team. They were the better team the first half of the game. And then everybody's coming in. It's a scrimmage. It's a tryout after that. So I don't care. I'd like to see the Raiders win every game. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the Raiders were better with the starters. They were better overall, which was important for me to see. Special teams on the Sanford blocked field goal here. This was a big play because special teams, the Raiders are really strong at it when it comes to A.J. Cole. What an asset he is, and Daniel Carlson. But defensively, the Raiders' special teams on defense is going to have to make a play.
As the Vikings are on for a 36-yard field goal snap.
Hold blocked. It's blocked. Oh, blocked.
It's blocked.
Here we go.
Here we
turn.
Go the other
are
way.
Going
look
to the
at
house.
This.
We're going to the house.
Raiders are trying to take it to the house. Cutting inside. What a solid play. Phelan Sanford on the play on the recovery. He took it up there, Lincoln. I thought he was going to go.
Yep, so that was the block field goal there, which is, it's a real game. If it's, remember, we lost to these guys 3-0. I have nightmares about that 3-0 game. 0-0 as I walk to the Modelo postgame show. 0-0 with the season on the line. And remember, I told you, I thought Jimmy Garoppolo should have been in that game. I did. I really think at halftime, Jimmy G should have came in. Kind of like a manager telling a pitcher, you're out, we're going to give someone else a shot. No, we found out they were going with Aiden the rest of the way. We lose to Minnesota 3-0. So somewhere in the fourth quarter, I look at Lincoln on the air. And I say, I don't like this score. It's 23-21, and they started laughing because they knew what I was talking about. If the Raiders were going to lose, they were going to lose on a field goal with no time left. I saw that coming a mile away. I've been down this road before. I look at the math, and I didn't take math in college. I use my cell phone for my math. When I tip in a restaurant, it's a big tip, I take out the calculator, man. I'm not great at math, but I see 23-21. I go, oh, wait a second. What's going to happen here? And what bothered me about the game, which is not a big deal, but maybe it bothered you, is the Raiders had the ability to put that game away, and they just ran it into the pile. I'm like, wait a second. Let's run a little, not a naked boot, but we got guys in who aren't going to make the team at quarterback. We know that. Let's just run some 7-yard tight end, quick throw, get a first down, have the Vikings use all their timeouts, and win the game. And the Raiders were taking timeouts and running the ball into the pile. I'm like, really? Okay. Why? I mean, we don't like to win the game, but the game doesn't matter. The Raiders' first half team won. You want to win every game, but I just thought at the end, when you got Cole Forthringham and you got some of these tight ends, right, they're always saying we got a big tight end room. Well, Big Mike was on the bench and Brock Bowers, you don't have to play them. But want to run a little sprint to the right and a little toss to the tight end up for 9 yards, stay in bounds, and the Raiders win the game. They didn't seem to have any intention of doing that. They were just going to run the ball up the middle. So the criticisms I have of this game, let's get to the final call, because you knew this was going to happen. I mean, I was guaranteeing this in my mind, that if Minnesota got the ball late, they'd get to field goal range and then make a chip shot. They win the game.
3 seconds left as the Vikings are setting up to win the game on a 38-yard field goal attempt.
Because you can't apply pressure on the center. It's right down the middle.
That ball is down. Kick is right down Broadway in Minneapolis. And the Minnesota Vikings on the last play of the game beat the Las Vegas Raiders by a score of 24-23 as both teams come out now.
So that was it. Final call on our Compass Media team, and that's some of the highlights of the game. I really enjoyed this opportunity to call the games in the preseason. It's really rewarding to work with the crew, and we had a lot of fun doing that. And, you know, for the Raiders, J.J. McCarthy's really good. Now, he went up against the Raiders 2s and 3s. So what? He's a rookie. He's never played a game. What do you expect him to do? He went up against the 2s and 3s and at times shredded the Raiders 2s and 3s. Picked them apart. Pitch and catch. A couple of blown coverages. A couple of routes over the middle of the field. J.J. McCarthy's a good player. He really is a good player. Raiders potentially could have got him. Like, that was the final guy that the Raiders could have got if they wanted to trade up. They were not going to get Drake May. They weren't going to get Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. I mean, everybody predicted J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings. So if the Raiders wanted to trade up and make that move, the Giants, here's one for you, the Giants could have got J.J. McCarthy. They didn't. Will the Giants go on to regret? Big Blue Wrecking Crew not taking J.J. McCarthy. And I don't know, but he looked pretty good. So I got a chance to call J.J. McCarthy's first game since he won a national championship. He's a good player. He's going to be good in this league. Again, I'm not going over the top. I just think he's all right. And I was impressed to see him play. So after that, we got on the team plane and flew back and got in around 9:30. Always fun. Get on the bus and there's a police escort back to the building. And then this is a fun little quick story. My wife was picking me up. She was on the way. And I walked out to the parking lot with Mad Max. And he showed me one of his new vehicles, which I'll leave off the record. And I was like, whoa. He goes, yeah. He goes, sit inside. I go, whoa. Okay. It's nice to be a young football player making the amount of money that these guys make, where they could leave their car in a spot for 3 weeks and you could pay for a home or a mortgage on the price of these cars. All well-deserving. And Max was great with the fans, and Max signed a lot of autographs, and he was really excited about that. So that's where we stand. Everything's wide open today. If you're on YouTube, we got 95 people in there right now, and I got 0 people on the phones. So if I could take calls off of YouTube, I would. But again, people like to just listen to my monologue for 25 minutes every day. 25 minutes. They hear, I think, the best of me. And now if they have an opinion. I'll take their call on anything. On anything other than my Social Security number and a couple other things. I'll answer anything on what you thought of the play-by-play, the call, the TV. Oh, this is really interesting. This is a good topic for today. I forgot about this. So I got my phone on during the game, and everybody's texting me, where do I find the game? Where do I find the game? Stop. Stop. Go to Raiders.com. There's a list. Okay, but TV, this is what freaked fans out. So on television, on NFL Network, you got the home call, which you do, of Paul Allen, who's a great play-by-play voice, but a heavy homer, like I'm a heavy homer for the Raiders. And a lot of Raider fans are like, how do I get Jason Horowitz? How do I get Rich Gannon? How do I get JT the Brick and Lincoln? Wow. I don't know what to tell you, man. I just say go to Raiders.com and find out where we are. You should all know this by now, especially if you're listening to the radio. If you're in Vegas, you have a flagship station, which is okay. But listen, man, I don't – how did you think of this? So yesterday, I'm watching the Olympics, and I look on my phone, and it's Tom Brady. He's calling his first game for Fox. And I tell the wife, I go, oh, we got to watch this. I remember Tony Romo's first ever game. I go, we got to watch this and see how he is. So I turn on NFL Network. Now, I get my friend Andrew Siciliano on the Rams broadcast. And I can't get Tom Brady. So I tell my wife, no, give me the remote. It's on Fox, Channel 5, right? Let's go to Fox. I got an infomercial. Some dermatologist on there on Fox 5. I'm like, wait a second. Where's the Tom Brady game? I want to analyze Tom Brady. So I'm like, what's going on, man? Why is it so hard for me to watch sports on TV? You making me get Peacock. I got to get the MLB app, and then you black out my Yankee games. You black out everything that's played in the Diamondback market, the Angels market, the Padres market. Hey, what's going on, man? Why is it harder to watch a game? I wanted to watch Jason Horowitz, so I can watch that locally. Jason Horowitz, Rich Gannon, and Matt Millen. And I want to listen to me. My wife's able to listen to me call the game. So that's okay, but if you're in Sacramento, other markets, you remember Compass Media, it's all right there at Raiders.com. You can't miss it. How to watch. Raiders even put out tweets on it. Well, it was frustrating to watch some football, man. I guess NFL Network obviously has the rights, and they're playing the local feeds here. But if you're a Raider fan, today I want to know, how'd you watch the game or listen to it? Was it easy or was it difficult? It's a good topic. 702-365-9200. And the point of action for today is, who do you have in the lead to be the quarterback of the Raiders? And you're smart fans. I want detailed phone calls. If you're going to just call in for, you know, a pom-pom contest, don't call me. I like Aiden. I don't care if you like Aiden. I want to know who you believe is the starting quarterback heading in, because Aiden started that game. I'm assuming, don't know, that Gardner is going to start this game at home. They're going to give them both an opportunity to start. So Aiden will probably get the start in the second quarter to work the two-minute drill and a lot of important things that could be the difference. So let's wake up, because I wake up. You know, I'm not here. I could be in the Hamptons in Long Island. I could be in San Diego golfing with my buddies. I'm here all week. Let's hear from you. 702-365-9200. I want to thank Steve Gomez and the entire team from Modelo. We had a great Modelo meeting today, as we open up the show, got some new swag, and we're coming up with something when it comes to Modelo that we'll let you know about here. We're working on something as we get going, as we open up the show. So 702-365-9200 as we begin here, and that's about it. I had a good time in Minneapolis. I hope you had a good time listening to the games, and we'll get going here as we play music out to the breaks. Play music out to the breaks. Then we'll come back with some music. We'll get this thing locked in. JT, as we begin on a Monday on the flagship of the Silver and Black, this is Raider Nation Radio.
It'll be a third and one on their own 43. J.J. McCarthy in the shotgun again, looking right the whole time. Raiders coming off the edge. Ball is out on the field. Raiders recover. Ball is out. Ball is on the ground. Raiders pick it up here.
I'll be interested to see if they call this a forward pass.
Yeah, we'll see if this was a forward pass or not.
JJ's
but the Raiders jumped on that.
Yeah.
Looks like the Raiders say they have the ball.
Yeah.
Play review, the quarterback's arm was moving forward with control of the ball. That's the same. Incomplete pass.
It took a little longer last time, though. It was a lot colder up in the box.
Are you telling me Minnesota in August has a tuck rule? Are you telling me we saw a tuck rule?
I refuse to repeat it, but you guys
know
where I was
out
going.
Here in Minneapolis in a dome?
What are we doing?
All right, so there we go as we're back here on the flagship of the Silver and Black Raider Nation Radio. That was my tuck rule call. That was my tuck rule call because there was a tuck rule. That was exactly the tuck rule that happened there. Couldn't believe it. It was the tuck rule. Ball, you know, ball going forward. I'm like, oh, and then Lincoln started. You know, that was Eric Allen's last ever game in the NFL was the tuck rule. And Eric Allen was jumping the route. When Brady brought the ball down, it was because Eric Allen jumped the route. Do you all know that? That's a really important moment in Raider history that all Raider fans need to know. Eric Allen snuck to the other sideline as Tom Brady was talking to Charlie Weiss, the offensive coordinator. It was during a blizzard, a snowstorm. They didn't see Eric Allen in his white jersey standing next to the coaches. Eric heard the play. Eric brought the play back. Eric was going to jump the route and end the game with an interception. Brady saw Eric Allen jump the route, pulled the ball back, tuck roll. That's the tuck rule. You all have to know that story. That's like Raider 101 stuff. You learned that in first grade. What happened to the tuck rule? Why did Brady fumble? Why did he fumble and Beekert, you know, land on the ball and all that? Why? Because Eric Allen was there to break up the play and Brady saw him at the last second. So we had something similar to that. So a couple of people have asked me, who do I think should be the starting quarterback? It's a tough question. I got a little bit of a tough answer to that. You know, interviewing the coach and the quarterbacks and working for the team, I can't have an opinion on that right now in preseason. I can't. Can't call the game. I can't call the game this Saturday night in the booth and someone on Twitter saying, hey, JT's rooting for Gardner Minshew. Can't happen. And I think you respect that and know that. So I got to sit this one out until they make the decision. Now, during the year last year when the season was going awry, I told you I thought when Jimmy Garoppolo was healthy, he should have went back in and played. In the Minnesota game, that was kind of ballsy. I don't hear anybody else say that other than me. But we found out through Devontae and the Netflix series, you know, Devontae and a lot of the players wanted to see Aiden play. I'm good with that. Antonio Pierce, loyal to Aiden O'Connell because he helped him get the job, winning 5 games. A pretty good record the Raiders had down the stretch. Okay, then one other thing I want to get to, very lightly, I'll tease ahead on this. So I knew that Bo Nix, if he played well, that the bandwagon would begin today with a certain show, which it did. And here we go. Here we go. As predicted. Bo Nix played reasonably well. So did J.J. McCarthy. And now Bo Nix is going to take the Broncos to the Super Bowl. You didn't see that one coming, everybody? You went to bed last night. You knew a certain show or two were going to be on the Bo Nix. Bo Nix going to the AFC playoffs. Didn't Gardner Minshew and Aiden played well? You know, it'd be fair and balanced or... Not that we need that. I'm not fair and balanced. But you know what would be nice for the Raider haters? Every once in a while to say, hey, Bo Nix played really good and J.J. McCarthy played really good. And those guys are probably going to start sooner than later. But hey, by the way, before I get out to the phone calls, Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell played pretty well. None of that. We don't get any of that in the Raider Nation. Anywhere, anytime, nobody other than maybe Rich Eisen will say that. But Gardner Minshew played pretty well. Thought he played pretty well overall. And when you play pretty well overall, and Aiden played really well, my opinion on who should start, if you want to have a mobile quarterback, it's Gardner. If you want to have a strong arm pocket passer, it's Aiden. My only concern in the first 2 weeks is Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, and then the Ravens defense on the road for their home opener. I edge to a little bit of experience on that. All right, Mitchell is in Henderson as we open up the show. Mitchell, what's happening? Michael, JT. Is that Michael? Michael in Henderson, go ahead. What's happening, buddy?
JT, how you doing? I love the call on the game. I love your enthusiasm. I love the your okay. That was amazing. Your enthusiasm is over. It's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I liked the story of.
Michael, I got to let you go. Michael, if you want to call back later in a better spot, we got to let you go. Your phone's breaking up the whole call. So let's get Michael down, and hopefully we get him on a better phone line coming up here. You know, as my wife knows this, I wait around all week to do this show. My wife literally kicks me out of the house. Get out of the house. Go to work. You're pacing. I want the show to be great. The calls, everything. So get to a good phone line. Landlines are encouraged, but we know we live in a world of cell phones and streaming. Robert in Portland is listening on the Raiders mobile app. Robert, what's happening today? Welcome to Monday.
Yeah, great job, JT, on that. I just love that you guys having fun like that. Hey, I look at the first game. The Chargers are coming up. They got Slater back at left tackle. They got all the new guy at right tackle. I think it's going to be one of those ground and pound games on both sides of the ball. I think the best thing to do for now is to just concentrate on how well the offensive line looks. And if we have some sibs, and it might be due to injuries or whatever, JT, I think we need to be clear on one thing. We've got a 225-pound, 6'1", mobile quarterback, and that guy is there for one reason, and that's because you got to realize it's a long season. So I'm going to stay with the second-year kid, and then I'm going to see what happens. But my gut tells me the first game's going to be one of those ground-and-pound games, and it'll be a little bit of a war.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Robert. I think that's what a lot of people are predicting. A lot of people are predicting now. I got gambling buddies who are taking the under in that game as the line has been set. And they think it's going to be grounded, use the clock. And I think the Raiders have the advantage with Zamir White if the game turns into that. And Justin Herbert's in a boot. And he's not practicing with the ones and twos. He's not practicing. He's at practice and film study and all that, but he's not out there because of a foot injury. That should be ready for week one. And if it is ready for week one, good. I want to see the Chargers quarterback play. Now, a lot of Raider fans like, I don't want to see him play. I hope he's hurt. I can't go down that slippery slope. I want to see everybody at full strength. If someone's injured and out for the year or injured for six games, I'll hype that up. If I don't want to see anybody hurt because that's bad karma for our guys to get hurt. But Herbert's getting no work in on the field. So you would think Jim Harbaugh is going to want to run it a little bit more. You would think. And the Raiders have Christian Wilkins and John Jenkins and Robert Spillane hopefully clogging up the middle and tackling well. The big criticism for the Raiders in the second half of that game was that the defensive line basically was Swiss cheese. They're just running the ball and running right at the Raiders and running plays that the Raiders couldn't stop. So the depth, I think Vic Tafer might have tweeted it out, I'll find it. The depth of the Raider defense did not look good in Minneapolis. The starters looked okay. But Devon Shire, when you look at what they want to do with some of these cornerbacks on the outside, they got beat a bunch of times. I think the safety play was okay overall, but we want to see some good defense here to wrap up the preseason. They're not playing a joint practice with another team. Oh, that was interesting, too. The 49ers canceled their joint practice with the Saints this week. That's a big deal. The Saints are in Orange County staying at the V, one of the nicest properties in the world. It's that nice. And they need some teams to practice against. And the Niners just canceled on them because the Niners are banged up. Raiders did not schedule a joint practice. I do not know why. But probably it's good for the Raiders now because they haven't had Colt Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson and Devontae was gone. Congratulations to Devontae and his wife on the birth of their son. Perfect timing for Devontae. Perfect timing. His son was born, which is a blessing. He wrapped up Costa Mesa a little bit early, didn't miss much, and now he's back with the team. That's a big story for Devontae. All the best. JT in Salt Lake City as we remain on the app. What's happening?
Hey, well, I heard you talking about hard times watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to NFL Network, and it's scheduled, but it's blacked out because it's local.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to my local station, and it has lacrosse on, Salt Lake City playing Denver.
Oh.
I missed Aiden O'Connell's entire drive. It took me a minute before I went to another app that I could, stream the game, watch some commercials and stream the game. Mm-hmm. But that was a bummer. But I ended up getting it, so that was great. But it was all Vikings announcers.
Right.
They talked to Justin Jefferson for almost the whole third quarter, I think.
Yeah, that's good programming from them to be able to get Justin Jefferson the entire quarter. That's a big coup for them to be able to have one of the best players in the league do some play-by-play. So, and the Vikings were, it's a home game. They got the home game. And it was easy for them to do that with Paul Allen. But, yeah, so you're one of the guys, JT, that we're talking about who couldn't get the game. You had to get the Minnesota feed. And in 2024, that's a problem that you're not able to get whatever you want, whenever you want on demand.
Yep. Yeah, I have the stations. They both the guide say it's going to be on.
Oh, the old guide. So, the guide. Well, yep, thanks for the call. Appreciate you giving me an update on that. I do really good radio. Really good radio when I can rip on broadcasts. I can. I can do good stuff with that. When mostly what I rip on is not the announcers. The announcers are pretty good. They're professionals, man. You know, Joe Buck was great, not good. Jim Nance is great, not good. I wanted to hear Tom Brady. I wasn't able to. I was watching the Olympics with my wife. I'd much rather have watched Brady for a few minutes just to hear his cadence, his sound, replay and all that. Wasn't able to do it, so... That's part of this. 702-365-9200. Raider Dave joins the broadcast. Good to hear from you, Dave. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, thank you. I went to my local establishment here in Colorado Springs where I've got a Raider booster club that goes all last year. We're going to go again. But I got the NFL Network, and I was bummed that it was Minnesota, but I thought the Minnesota announcers, but I thought, like in some years past, at least I thought, that it would be one set of announcers for one team, one half, and then the other set, the other half. So I stuck around to watch everybody in the second half, hoping to hear you and the gang, and it just didn't happen. So that was disappointing. I guess that they don't do that anymore or whatever. But I do want to say that I'm a little curious about how much the Raiders are thinking that, you know, beating the Chargers last year, yes, it's a different coaching staff there and a different OC here, but they already have a bunch of tape on AOC. Mm-hmm. Obviously, AOC is the guy that could get the ball into tight windows. And if it's going to be a run-oriented game more so, I just don't know that RPOs are part of Getsy's deal. Maybe it is. But I really think that it's still, AOC's to lose and Minshew's to gain. It's going to be interesting to see if the number twos with Dallas are as good or not as good as the number twos with Minnesota. I was impressed with the way that Minshew did throw some long balls and get them over the top of people's heads. I think, you know, the one to Tucker was a little bit overthrown, but Tucker made a great effort to get it. And then the touchdown in the right corner of the end zone was really perfectly placed. So all that stuff was excellent. I was really impressed with AOC's movement in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think he had an opportunity or a need to really run like Minshew did. And, it's not his game. But going 7 for 9 and only having one drive, which it was like 12, 14 plays or whatever, I really thought it showed a lot of moxie, and I'm really interested in seeing him start mostly because of his communication and the path that he has with the center. I think having the right calls and the right communications with the offensive line is just going to be paramount, and I can't wait to talk the rest of the week with you, man.
Yep.
Excellent job. Congrats to DA. We certainly would look a lot better with the whole left side of the line being in there, but we can look forward to that next week.
All right. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it. Very good phone call. So let's go, and we'll come back, Jess, for the top of the hour segment here momentarily. When we come back, we'll dive into more of your phone calls about this. That call was fantastic because he makes a good point. AOC, why did I say AOC? I'll try never to do that again. Aiden is really good when he has time, and he played well. It would be a shame for him if he loses his job after going 7 for 9, right? He played pretty good. He didn't do anything to lose the job. Gardner did a couple other things with his legs that might help him win the job. Hey, shout out to the chat on YouTube. We got 100 people in there for most of the show so far, and we really appreciate that. This school year, let Canes host your next fundraiser and receive 15% off net sales back when customer mentions the group. Earn extra credit with fundraising this year and enjoy some hand-battered chicken fingers with Raisin Canes. Visit canesandcommunity.com to learn more. Raisin Canes Chicken Fingers, proud partner of Raider Nation Radio, one love. JT, back with you. I am thrilled for this conversation.
Adam Johnson joins us. He led his Little League team to the Little League World Series. This is an amazing story. Paseo Verde Little League is now in the Little League World Series. I've known this man for a long time. My brother, good to hear from you. Congratulations. What a great story. How's the team looking?
Thanks, JT. Yeah, I mean, team is excited. It's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience to see these kids treated like, you know, royalty. We were talking today, and, you know, there's 10 U.S. teams left, 12 kids on each team. So it started, you know, with 5,000 All-Stars in June, and to know that these 12 are one of the last 120 is a pretty special moment for all of us as coaches and parents alike.
I know you're not going to let me talk a lot about you because I know how much you love and care for these kids, but a lot of people are finding out. Paul Gutierrez wrote about it and the way you travel with the team from Costa Mesa back and forth and now to have some time off to do this. I mean, this is a passion of yours, even though your job is also a big priority. How you been handling it?
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, I would be remiss not to thank Mr. Davis and the Raider family. You know, I've been an employee there a long time, and even the thought of, you know, being a Raider to me every time I put the shield on gives me pride, and to know that they're supporting this. And this is something that, you know, 4 years ago this team got together, and, you know, you joke about it, talk about it, but you see the work these boys have put in, and, you know, to have the blessing from the Raiders to be here and coach this team and know that, you know, Coach Pierce and Mr. Davis and Tom Telesco and especially my equipment room friends, you know, there's a lot of laundry, a lot of stuff getting done without me right now, and it's hard not to think about those, but also every time I walk out the door and you see Lomedy Stadium, and this is little kid paradise for baseball, so it's definitely nice to have the support of the Raiders, and this is our busy season, and to have it coincide, you know, this is a passion of mine, and volunteering and Little League in general I think is special, so it's very neat to be here, and like I said, without the support of the Raider organization, I definitely wouldn't be here, and I'm eternally grateful. My family, they've always taken care of families, and that's one thing that this organization does, in my opinion, better than the rest. You know, there's 31 teams, and then there's the Raiders, and the way they take care of their employees, their fans, every part of Raider Nation is second to none.
Adam Johnson joins us as he takes his team to the Little League World Series, and to do it with a no-hitter, what's that all about? What's going on for you in the third and fourth? Because you've seen a lot of Little League and All-Star and club ball teams get to the third or fourth inning with a no-hitter. That's not rare, but then all of a sudden you're playing on television. Walk me through the dugout and the reaction.
Yeah, you know, it was neat. We definitely dropped our first game, and we felt as coaches, you know, the hardest part as a coach is when you see your team not be themselves and make mistakes. And, you know, we felt like if we got back to Friday that when we got to Wyatt, that Wyatt would give us as good a chance as anyone. We felt coming into it that he was the best pitcher in the whole region. And, you know, Utah, I think, scored 30-something runs in two games, and I think they were confident, and we were equally as confident in Wyatt. And we know these boys are prepared and can play defense with the best of them. And honestly, JT, the craziest part is when we played in the state championship game, we played Reno and we run ruled him, but he threw a no-hitter in that game. And then so you realize that's four innings. Then you go into the, you know, the ESPN TV, and, you know, they hit a couple balls hard, definitely in the first inning. But, you know, I saw at one point he looked over his shoulder, and I looked over his shoulder, and he had a comebacker the very first play of the game. They ruled it an error. Probably the only time in his life he would have liked that rule an error over a hit. But, you know, he's dominant, and he's confident, and he really trusts his catcher. He trusts Parker Sorenaca back there to block breaking balls in the dirt with two strikes and to really, you know, he challenges guys because he knows we'll put a great defense behind him. But to be there and see a no-hitter and understand the levity of, you know, all the sporting games and all, like, to your point, you see him during the regular season, but to know that's the best team in Utah, and, you know, offensively they were the best team in our region, and to watch him go out and just be who the kid we knew he was really special.
Last quick one. What can we do here? Tell us about the schedule, TV, when you're playing, travel, all this. What's it look like here?
Yeah, so we, you know, it's neat. These boys won Friday night, and then they were on a charter flight with the team from the mountain or from the west, which is Maui, Hawaii, and the team from the northwest, which is from Washington. And they put 49 kids on a charter flight, fly straight to Pennsylvania. So that's a treat within itself. Our first game is on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, so 12 p.m. back in Vegas. We just did a coin flip, so we're the home team.
Wow.
And everyone's bringing out families and friends. And all we ask is that the biggest thing for me is support these kids, understand that, you know, they are kids and they're going to go out and show the best that they can for the community. You know, Paseo Verde Little League is has been supportive of us and, and these players. It's a great place to play Little League. If anyone's looking to donate, you know, they can always donate there. But the biggest thing is screaming at your TV, you know, watching the games, letting them know that you're behind them, because we definitely feel it all the way out here across the country.
Thanks, my friend. I'm proud of you. I can't wait to see you take as long as you want, win this thing, and we'll see you back in Vegas.
That's the plan, JT. Thanks. And like I said, 31 teams in Raider Nation, baby.
You're the best. Adam Johnson. How about that story? What a Raiders story. We'll be back with hour number two next.